Last time, yesterday, we covered the first session, and in that first session, we really argued that financial counseling isn't really any different than any other counseling in the sense that it's the Lord Jesus and it's the gospel that has to play out in people's hearts and in people's lives. And if they don't get that, then we might help them make a budget. We might help them get to a little better place on the intervention side. But quite frankly, we really haven't done true biblical counseling if that's all that's taken place. They have to get to the place where they understand that every spending decision is a spiritual one. They have to get the issues of greed and worry and generosity and all the stewardship and all the things that we discussed last time. But another piece of the financial counseling is obviously that's not just all we're going to talk about. We have to talk about some intervention. And so how is it that we're going to intervene? And at the bottom line, there's really only a couple of primary ways you can do that. And some people will argue primarily for one. I'm going to argue for primarily the other, and we can interact a little bit about why I do that in a minute. So I want to start off with, how are we going to intervene? What are we going to do? And I want to encourage you to communicate honestly and hopefully about the tasks that they have before them. This is not going to be easy. In other words, I don't know about you, but I think it's always easier to spend more money than to spend less. What do you think? I mean, it is just easy. I mean, it's a whole lot more fun, too, by the way, to spend a whole lot more than what you have. And so I just have six little points I'd like to make on this honesty and hope thing. First of one, that we want to give them hope. People come in, and to some degree, they're embarrassed about it. They're embarrassed that they have financial problems. They think they're worse than their others, that, no one is as foolish as I am. And so there's really an opportunity that we have with them to minister to them and to encourage them and to give them hope. And a lot of people have been in your situation before, and God has helped them. And He can change your heart and your life, and you could be truly free from this. So we want to communicate to them, the Romans 8:28-29, the 1 Corinthians 10:13, the passages that you and I are very familiar with. But let me just encourage you that sometimes our counselees are not as equally familiar with these passages. They come in and they just haven't been there. For whatever reason, it's not always clear, why those passages haven't been important to them, but they just haven't. And so this is an opportunity for you to say, look, let's put this in a whole new context. Let's stop looking at your life through the grid of what bills are coming in that you don't have the money to pay for. And let's start looking at this in what is God doing in your life to help you grow to be more like Christ and to bring Him honor and glory. So we want to communicate that. And by the way, is God able to do some pretty amazing things? The whole widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, isn't that a great story? Do you guys know that story? It is a story that can give some serious hope. And we're not telling them that that is exactly what's going to happen for them. But we are saying this is the kind of God that we serve. And this is the kind of God who loves us. And this is the kind of God who cares for us. And if that passage is kind of unfamiliar, the widow is making her final cakes with her oil and her flour. And in the end, she's going to eat with her son. And then they're going to starve to death. And she just doesn't see any other way out. And then Elijah shows up and says, I want you to give those to me, and then God's going to provide for you. And certainly that's exactly what God does. And so I think there is real, genuine hope that we can communicate that's throughout the Scriptures. And it's not based on just some willy-nilly thing. It's based on the God of heaven and earth who can radically change people. Second, you do have to be honest and gather facts. Proverbs 18:13, you guys all use that in your counseling? I like to tell my counselees that very verse. Look, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions because Scripture warns me, he who gives an answer before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. And so I got enough folly and shame in my life without planning on any more. And so I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. We just have to get them to the place where they're willing to talk to us about this, And it's just like any other counseling. If they withhold information, how good is your counsel? I mean, it might actually harm them. And so we want to communicate to them, look, if you hold things back because you're nervous or you think we're going to judge you or, you know, whatever the reasons or motivations that you might have to do that, can I just tell you that if you do, you are putting me in a position where I'm not going to be able to help you. And I don't want to be in that position, and you don't want to be in that position. So we have to be honest. In order to counsel well, we have to have the right data. And so we're going to have some information sheets. I like to ask for 3 to 6 months of what is their situation over the last 3 to 6 months to know enough about it so that I can begin to help them. You guys can decide how much time you want to get, how much, in some cases, whether you want to see the statements. I mean, I've asked people, can you bring one in? Because I'd like to see it with my own eyes. Because sometimes people don't really have a very good idea about what they have. Now, the next thing is that everybody has to agree. You know, I remember one counseling case I had a number of years ago. Here was the wife's view. She came in, and there were tears in her eyes. And she just said, you know, Rob, I know God is not pleased. I know he's not honored by the way I'm using my money. But I don't know what to do about it, and I'm here for help. You know what her husband said? He wouldn't say we're just fine, but you're on the right track. He would say, how much is this going to hurt? Because, like, I'm kind of into my, you know, cable. Because, you know, Sunday at 12:01, the pastor has to be done because, like, I got to get to my NASCAR race. You know, and then, well, I'm really not interested in giving up all my lunch money because that's kind of like my money. And this vehicle that I drive, I mean, this vehicle is, like, really important to me. Well, how effective do you think that counsel is going to be? Well, here's what the bottom line is. About 50 to 75% as effective as it could have been if they had gotten a true biblical attitude about their money, like the one we talked about last time. Now, 4, be on guard against discouragement. The tasks that you're going to ask them to do are not easy. It's easy to increase, it's hard to decrease. And so when the husband, who's used to eating his Quiznos for lunch 3 times a week, now has peanut butter and jelly every day, he is like not going to be happy about that. And when the wife who used to go to some really nice hair salon decides to go to the budget place, she is not going to be happy if she doesn't get a good haircut. You know, I mean, those are going to be moments that are going to be very, very hard for them to swallow. And so part of your task is to say, look, I want you to recognize there's going to be opportunities to get discouraged. And in those opportunities, that's when you're going to have to push through. That's when you're going to have to say, no, what I'm doing because I want to honor the Lord. I'm making the right decisions because these are the biblical ones. And if my hair gets chopped a little bit, oh well. It grows back. If I have to eat peanut butter and jelly like 20 times in a row, okay, I won't die from it. Well, I might, but I'll die from whatever I eat. So it just doesn't matter. Then, to remind them that choices do have consequences. And by the way, that cuts both directions, doesn't it? In other words, good and bad. Persons who are willing to make good choices reap good consequences. Those who make poor choices in the present will reap additional bad consequences. And then, this task is going to take some time. That's just part of it. In fact, those who are in financial trouble will be dealing with their financial trouble long after they're done with the counseling.